Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you now, and we do open your word together, and we have this opportunity to hear what you have to say to us. And I pray, Lord God, that you would indeed speak. Help us to hear who you are and who we are in you. And Father, I pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning, we pick back up on our mission series. We took a little bit of a break last week as Joel Van Dyke was with us. And so this morning, we jump back into our series on mission, talking about what it means to be empowered by the Spirit to follow Jesus together, serve others, and share God's love. And as you probably know, we're in the second sequence of the series, focusing on what it means to serve others well. And so just a quick recap. For those of you who maybe missed a few weeks, or it's just been a long time, and so we can't remember a month ago, right? So when we started this sequence, we talked about what it means to be made in the image of God, and we looked at Genesis, and we talked about how God made man and woman in his image, equal partners in this work of proclaiming his name, of stewarding the earth, of helping it to grow and flourish. And we talked about how that image is still in us today, that we are all made in the image of God, equal footing in the kingdom of God as we do his work. And then we talked about how God used people throughout Scripture, throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Branson highlighted a number of people who have been used by God, particularly we looked at how God used women throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament to really shape his work and his mission and his kingdom. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus and Jesus's kind of barrier-breaking ministry, because we talked about how when Jesus came, women had been kind of shoved down and oppressed in the culture. And so we see Jesus breaking through that by loving them and allowing them to be his disciples and by ministering to them in kind of profound ways. And so this week we come back to our series on serving others, and we're going to continue the series by looking today at spiritual gifts. Now, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you've probably heard a sermon or 20 on spiritual gifts. You've probably done somewhere nearly like 100 spiritual gift surveys. Maybe you've done them and then you filed them away and you've forgotten what your gifts are, or you've been surprised that they've changed every time. And there's just a lot of like, what do we do with all this, right? At one point, I remember we tried to create a database to see whose gifts we had and how we could dream about using them. And we're not going to do any of that today. I'm not going to make you take a spiritual gift survey, although the Lions aren't playing this afternoon, so you have time to do that if you want to. There's like links on the internet. Look for a good one. If it's like 5 questions, it's not going to get you there, all right? But you're welcome to kind of dig into this a little bit more this afternoon when you're there. Now, gifts are important. Gifts, abilities, skills. We're going to kind of look at it in a little bit broader. They're important because what we see in Scripture and what we even experience in life is that we need a variety of gifts in order to accomplish the work that God's given us. And we really need a variety of gifts for everything we do. For instance, living on Portland years ago, we needed a new water heater, right? If you've owned a home, you've likely experienced the water heater breakage at some point. So we needed a new water heater. Julie and I wanted to move the water heater for a number of reasons. And so I had some of the tools to move the water heater. I had some of the tools to put the water heater in, but I had no idea how to move a gas line. Right? And being somewhat smart, I realized it wasn't wise for me to move a gas line on my own and thus blow up the Portland house, even though there was sort of like this, is that all bad? I don't know, right? But I didn't have the skills to do it. And so I remember we called Daryl Parks. Daryl is like a master of all trades, right? And Daryl's here this morning. Daryl came over and he had the skills and the tools to move the water heater gas lines and make it so it would work, right? And that's just an example, right, of a project at home where even in there, we need people with different skills and abilities, so we hopefully don't blow ourselves up. But this can happen in other aspects of life, too. Some of you are really skilled in some great things, but you can't make a loaf of bread to save your life, right? You've tried a number of times, and it always comes out unleavened and crusty, and you can't figure it out, right? Some of you are amazing with numbers, but you can't paint to save your life, right? We have different gifts, we have different abilities, and they show up in every aspect of how we live and exist. And again, this happens in the church too. We have different ministries, different opportunities, and some of you are really gifted with working with kids, and some of you are really terrified by children. I get it. Right? Some of you are really great at nurturing and caring for people, and others of you just want to get in and build something. And again, that's okay. That's great, because what we need is everybody using their gifts for the sake of the kingdom. And so what we see in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning, which is what you should be what we should be opening our Bibles to, what we see in 1 Corinthians 12 this morning is Paul speaking to a church about the gifts that they have. And he's really trying to highlight in this passage that everyone has different gifts, and all of those gifts are necessary for the building up of the church community. And the reason he has to say this is because Corinth is a mess. The Corinthian church is kind of a broken mess. It's a young church, but even in its youth, it's already started to divide and to have power plays. In fact, power plays were a big problem in the Corinthian church. One of the things that actually happened a lot in Rome, one of the values was power, which is really funny because I don't know that anything has changed in the history of the world, right? If you just look at world history, there's so many places for power, but Rome was obsessed with power. And anytime someone could get the upper hand on someone else, they would wield that power to make other people feel little and weak. And so in the Corinthian church, one of the ways people were yielding power and kind of putting others down was actually through spiritual gifts. They were saying, look, there are some gifts that are way better than other gifts, and those of us who have them, we're really better than you. And Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, I don't think so. This is not the way this works. And so as we read this passage, kind of keep that power play in mind. Kind of keep this unbalanced view of gifts in mind, because it really shows up throughout the passage. We're going to read all of 1 Corinthians 12. It's a little long, so buckle up, but it's important that we read the whole thing. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, the body is one unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now, the body is made up of one part. The body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and will those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all do miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And that's where we're going to end for right now. Now, Paul starts this passage by saying to the people in Corinth, I don't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And it almost seems like as he's saying that, he's implying a little bit at least that they are probably ignorant as it relates to spiritual gifts. They don't get it. In fact, he goes on to mention how they have this pagan background, right? These people in Corinth are coming from all over the world, and with that, they're bringing with all their pagan religions and their idol worship, and they're looking to things that will make them more powerful. They're looking to things that will satisfy them in some way, and they're looking in all the wrong places. And Paul says, look, that was who you were, but that is not who you are anymore. And the evidence of that is that you say Jesus is Lord. If you're saying Jesus is Lord, the Holy Spirit is upon you, and something is different about you. And what he actually says is that because the Spirit is upon them, through the Spirit, He's getting at this idea that we serve God and we serve others. And this shows up in really this profound Trinitarian statement in verses 4 through 6, where he says, we have the same Spirit, but different gifts, the same Lord, a.k.a. Jesus, but different kinds of service, and the same God, but different kinds of work. So I love this because Paul is making it very clear that we are all united in God as he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in God, not only are we united, but we're giving different gifts and service and work to fulfill the mission of glorifying God and building his church. And so this is really important that while we're unified around God, there are still differences. Differences aren't bad. Differences are necessary. In fact, differences are important so that the body of Christ, again, the church, has what it needs to fulfill its mission. We can't all be the same, nor should we aspire to all be the same in terms of our gifts and our service and our work. And Paul's going to come back to this in a little bit through these really kind of bizarre images that he has as he talks about a physical body. And so Paul says in verse 7 that each person has a manifestation of the Spirit given to them. And in other words, the Spirit is upon everyone, and the Spirit is giving gifts to each person to, again, build the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 7 this really interesting thing that is just so important. He says, the Spirit is given for the common good. So the Spirit is given to all people. Again, everyone has a gift. You're going to hear some repetition in me this morning. And I don't think this is all bad because sometimes we miss stuff, right? There was a great comment, or Becca posted to my Facebook timeline this week, a great quote from somebody who was like, you know, why do you preach the same sermon every week? And the pastor's like, well, I preach it every week until you get it, right? And so we're not doing that. I'm not going to preach the same sermon next week, but you're going to hear some repetition this morning because I think, again, we just need to let this sink in. So first, everyone has a gift. And secondly, as Paul says, the gift is for the church. It's for the common good. And so it's for the church, but I think it's even beyond that. The gifts and abilities and work we're given are not just for the body, although they are, and it's very important. The gifts we're given are also for the common good. They're for the world. And so we're given gifts and abilities to use here to, again, build this body, but we're also given gifts and abilities to make a difference out there as we minister to people who are lost. And so Paul goes on to give a whole bunch of gifts, right? So there's words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And each of these is like a different kind of thing, right? And we could probably do a whole series around each of these like unpacking all of these gifts. But words of wisdom kind of gets at the idea that God is giving insight into the purpose and working of himself through Jesus. So it's like helping to understand how God is at work in the world. Words of knowledge might relate to insight, again, as to what God is doing through Jesus. What's maybe it's unpacking kind of the present situation in light of Scripture. Faith as a spiritual gift might seem a little confusing because we all have faith, right? So do we all have that spiritual gift? But as I was reading this week, the scholars I was kind of looking at were talking about faith almost in pair with miracles. Like when Jesus says, if you have faith to move this mountain, you can tell it to get up and go, right? And so faith in maybe a more miraculous kind of sense, a deeper kind of faith perhaps. There's the gift of healing. There's the gift of miracles, which again gets at this idea that somehow supernatural things might be happening. I don't know if anyone has the gift of miracles, but I've seen a few. I've seen a few in that there were many Thursday, and I've talked about this before, right? But there were many Thursday nights where we were doing 180 and or EMS, depending on when you were involved in it. And we had food for the children those nights, and we didn't have enough food, but we had enough food. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody delivered 40 hot dogs, but we had 60 kids, and some kids had two. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I've seen God at work to do crazy things. There's a gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is one of those things we wrestle with a little bit, because sometimes we think about prophecy as this very future-oriented word from God, right? We see this in Isaiah, we see this in Jeremiah, we see this in all the prophets. They're embedded in their message is often this, like, future-oriented look to where God's kingdom is going to come, or the Messiah who's going to show up. But prophecy can also be sort of what I'm doing right now. As we unpack Scripture together and as we talk about it together, prophecy can be understanding, and maybe even sometimes, in charismatic churches, sometimes it's a special word from God over somebody, recognizing what God is doing in their life or calling them to. There's discernment of the spirits, which is interesting because it seems to actually almost work with prophecy, like interpreting tongues works with speaking in tongues. Discernment of the Spirit seems to get at the idea that as we hear things, we need to discern together to make sure it's coming from God and not someone else. And then, of course, there's speaking in tongues, this idea that there is the ability to speak in different languages, especially some kind of angelic or godly language. And what that looks like in terms of the church really comes into terms with the interpreting of tongues, where those speaking in tongues are used then to edify the entire body. And so God is using all of these gifts for his church. All of these gifts for his church. And it's really kind of a fascinating thing, because as we look at this, these are all, Paul is talking about all of them like they're a common occurrence. Like they all have a role to play in defining what the church does, what it looks like, and what its gifts are. Now, part of the problem in Corinth was speaking in tongues was becoming this thing that was being like, if you could do this, you were better than everyone else. Which is why it's interesting in these lists that Paul kind of puts it at the end all the time, right? He's trying to make a point. Like, this isn't like the first thing you should be aspiring to, but it is something that is a part of the gifts the Spirit gives. And as we think about this list, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. This list is not exhaustive, right? If you were to look at other places in Scripture this morning, especially in the New Testament, you'd find other gifts listed in service of the church. And gifts can be wide-ranging, and they can be things that I think we don't even think about. For instance, when is the first time in the Bible that it appears God gives somebody a spiritual gift? This is my clue to you. Anyone? I dare you to try to answer it. What? Not Adam. Not Adam, but close. Closer. I won't drag this out too long. Exodus 31. Check this out. Then the Lord said to Moses, so God has just given all these instructions for building the tabernacle, and then God says this. The Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skills, ability, and knowledge. All right, so here we are in Exodus, and this guy, whose name I'm not going to say again, is given gifts to do work. And guess what his gifts and abilities are? In all kinds of crafts. Yeah, there's like a few of you. Abby is not in here right now. Abby would have like run down the aisle dancing a jig. It's like amazing, right? All kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. We don't talk about spiritual gifts this way. We talk about the list that was just on the screen, right? But what we need to understand is that God gives us all gifts and abilities in multiple kinds of ways. I think in ways we forget to dream about to do his work. And actually, God goes on to say, I have appointed Oholiab, son of a dude I can't say, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. And I have given skills to all the craftsmen to make everything I've commanded you. This is kind of profound, right? That spiritual gifts are maybe broader than what we think about. A couple Christmases ago, Ed Clute had this wonderful painting that was up here on the back of the stage. If you were here, you might remember this. And every week he was adding some different art, or he was adding some different components to the picture as we got closer to the birth of Christ. That, in many ways, is a spiritual gift. He's using that in that painting to help us reflect on Jesus. It's an amazing thing to think about. So, the list is not exhaustive. The second thing, I actually had that on the screen. The second thing is Paul doesn't make a distinction between the spectacular gifts and the ordinary gifts. And so I've kind of already said this, right? But as we're looking at the list that was on the screen, Paul doesn't draw a huge distinction. He's like, look, these are the ones that only a few people are going to have, and these are like the healing and the miracles and the speaking in tongues, and the rest of you just get ordinary gifts like administration. I don't want administration, right? But Paul doesn't make a distinction between spectacular and ordinary gifts. Again, all of these gifts are showing up for a particular reason. In fact, as I've said, every gift is evident in the church, and we should think about it that way, that every gift should be evident in the church. And so what does it mean when gifts are absent? When gifts are absent in the church, does it mean that we just don't know that we have them? Does it mean that maybe God hasn't given them to us at this time? What does that look like for us as a body of believers when a gift in particular seems to be missing? Now, Paul goes on, after talking about these spiritual gifts, to use this metaphor of the body to describe the church, right? And again, in verses 12 and 13, he talks about how everyone has a role to play in the body of Christ. Everyone has a role to play. It doesn't matter what race you are, he says. It doesn't matter what social status you have. Everyone has a gift and is vital for the life of the church. So if you look around this morning, the message is everyone here is vital for the body of Christ. Like, everyone here is vital for the body of Christ. Everyone here matters. Everyone here has been given a gift and ability that they can use in the body of Christ. Everyone is necessary. Everyone is vital. And when we're all working together using our gifts, good things happen as God is glorified, his Son is made known, and the proclamation of his name goes forth. And so Paul goes on to talk about how this is working in Corinth, and maybe this is reflective of how we sometimes find ourselves today, where he says, look, the foot can't say to the hand, look, I'm out of here. I'm done. Right? If the foot decides it's done, it can't go anywhere. It's still attached to the body. It's still a part of the body, and it's still necessary for the body. He says he uses the same illustration between ears and eyes, and then he makes this like crazy picture, right? He's like, if the whole body were an eye, what good would that be, right? And this image itself is still kind of messed up. I didn't want to get like too creepy of an eyeball up here this morning. This is my attempt to be okay, all right? But even this, like, shouldn't have hands and it shouldn't have feet. It might still get to wear a hat, I don't know, but it shouldn't have any of those things, right? If the whole body were one thing, it would be weird. If a giant eyeball walked in this morning, I'm out. I am out, all right? I can't handle that stuff. I'm out. And so it doesn't make any sense for us to think about the body of Christ in this way, where we all have one gift and one ability. Now, here's the challenge, I think. Sometimes in the body of Christ, and maybe this happens at Fourth Reformed Church, we look at other people and say, man, if I just had that gift, I would be somebody here. If I could just do that thing, then people would love me more. And part of what happens is we see different gifts playing out, and maybe we get jealous, maybe we get a little bitter, maybe we get a little uncomfortable because we don't have those particular gifts. And what Paul is saying, and he's saying this to the Corinthian church who is really messed up this way, he's saying every gift matters. It would be a bit of a mess if everyone's gift was playing the piano, who would sing? We all need different gifts and abilities to build the body of Christ. And Paul goes on to talk about how it gets interesting, right? Because he talks about how these esteemed parts are actually kind of made low, and the lower parts are kind of raised up. And what he's getting at here, and again in the body of Christ, is that there is an even playing field, that every gift is so vital that we can't hold one over another the way we want to. Paul says that the weaker gifts, the ones that seem weaker, are indispensable. He says that the people we look down on should receive honor. God is lifting up the lowly, and he's calling the proud to humility, and he's doing this also that there would be no division in the body of Christ, that there would be just this opportunity to see how we can use what we've been given to serve one another well, how we can serve God well. And again, Paul goes on to say this is important because he says if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. If one part of the body thinks that they are no good for some reason, then we're all suffering. And likewise, if at the same time, if one part of the body is honored, we all kind of receive some blessing from that. Like we're so tied together that when one of us is in pain, we are all in pain, whether we realize that or not. And we need to live into this identity and see ourselves as a body in such a closely connected way that what happens to our brothers and sisters matters. Some of you have parts of your body that hurt right now, right? I won't ask you to raise your hand, but some of you have parts of your body that hurt right now. And you know that if one part of your body hurts, the entire body starts to feel it, right? If you can't do something well with your foot, I'll just use Julie for an example. I didn't ask her if I could do this, but Julie's foot hurts. And so by the end of the day, her leg hurts. And sometimes her back, and sometimes her neck, and sometimes her head, because she's walking weird to compensate for her foot, right? Some of you have this with arms or eyes or anything else on your body. Something hurts, and so everything hurts. And again, this gets us at the point that if somebody is suffering, we all feel it. So as we consider some of this and what it means for us today, I just want to grab a few things here. Each of us has gifts from God through faith in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, this is the repetition that you've been hearing all morning. Each of us has gifts from God through faith in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we actually see in Scripture is that it is full of ordinary people serving God in ordinary ways through the power of the Spirit. If we participate in body life together here at Fourth Reformed Church, as we think about what it means to serve each other, we shouldn't be looking to make a name for ourselves, and we shouldn't be looking to build ourselves up. What we should see is that God is the one who is being glorified through our work together, and he's just using us, some ordinary people, through his special gifting to carry out his work. And again, as a reminder, the gifts that we receive here in this church are not for us, they're for the community of believers, they're for the glory of God, they're for the expansion of his kingdom. And so here's what this means. There's no retirement from the kingdom of God. There's no, I'm too young for the kingdom of God. There's no, I'm too busy for the kingdom of God. right? Because we all have a role to play, and that role doesn't end until we die. That role doesn't end until we die. We can jump into mission at any point in our lives, and God is calling us into mission at every point in our lives. It just may look different from point to point. I will often visit Connie Larson, and when I visit Connie Larson, she regularly tells me that in 2001, when she became a part of the Break Time Ministry, showing up every day to make sure we had food for the children who were attending that program, she felt alive and involved in mission for the first time. And she was 70-ish. So that's pretty amazing to me, right? Because at 70-ish, she is involved in mission and she's playing a role that's different from other roles she's played in her life. And she's thriving in her giftedness. There's no retirement from the kingdom of God. And there's no too busy. Some of us are crazy busy. All right, this is not to put a guilt trip on anyone here this morning. I know that some of you are chasing around a bunch of kids to a bunch of activities, and you're working 60, 80, 100 hours a week. You're overwhelmed, and you're like, Eric, I hear what you're saying about spiritual gifts, but I have no time to show up to a church gathering right now and do some extra mission work. I know you're busy, but like Joel said last week, your mission is where you are as well. So I think this is part of the problem that we have. We have these gifts, we have these abilities, we have these works of service, we have all of this stuff that we take with us, and yes, we need to be using it here in the body of Christ. I don't want to say that's not important, but it's also important that we take what we've been given by God and go and use it in other places as well. So when you're at work working way too many hours, you have coworkers who are around you, and you can be the light of Christ to them. When you're at home hanging out with family, you can be the light of Christ to them. When you're at a sports game of some sort, sitting on the sidelines, cheering on your child, you can be the light of Christ to that team and the people around you. And we need to start thinking that way. What gifts and abilities have we been given that we can use wherever we are? When Jesus came to earth, he was, you know, totally empowered by the Spirit, right? And in Jesus, we actually see all of these spiritual gifts playing out at different points in his ministry. As he's walking along the earth, he's doing these crazy things for the kingdom of God to bring people back into relationship with God. And he goes about his ministry loving the lost and healing the sick and doing all this stuff. And he goes to the cross and he dies. Because he loves us and he wants to bring reconciliation between us and God and make sure that we have the ability to be with God and to be with Jesus. And Jesus goes on to ascend. And remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago too. Why does Jesus ascend? So the same Spirit that is in him can be rained down on us all. Jesus ascends into heaven to send his Spirit upon us so that each one of us can be anointed by it and given the gifts that Jesus has to do ministry in this world. We are empowered by this amazing Spirit to do this incredible work. And God rains down his Spirit on all people. And again, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you became a Christian last week or you were born one. God's Spirit is upon you. If you are calling on the name of Jesus as your Lord, his Spirit is upon you, and he has given you the opportunity to serve in his kingdom through the gifts he has given you. It doesn't matter who you are. It only matters who God is and what he wants to do. And so let me leave you with a few questions this morning. What are your gifts and abilities? What are your skills? What are your passions? What are the things that God has given you that you can use to build his kingdom? And look, I'm not really asking you to go online today and take some survey, but I am asking you really, truly to take some time to think about what you have been given by God to use for his kingdom. And then ask yourself, how am I using them in his kingdom? How am I using them in the church? How am I using them in the broader world? Am I using them? And if not, why not? What's keeping me from participating in this kingdom life that God has called me to? People of God, we've been given gifts. And we get to use them here. We get to dream together about how that looks and how we can use some of these gifts. And so I would even say this morning, if you have some gifts and you're just not even sure how to plug in with them, or then you need to talk to me or some of the elders, and let's dream together about that. Let's dream together about that. Because God can use so many things to build his kingdom. And he wants to use you today to do his work. Let's pray. Father God, you are good, and you are mighty, and you are holy, and you are a God who loves to give good gifts. And the gifts you give come by the Spirit who has descended upon us, who has rained down on us through the ascension of Christ. The same Spirit that was in Jesus, Lord God, is in us today, and we have the ability to serve you in ways that maybe we haven't even dreamed possible yet. And so, God, I just pray this morning that you would help us to be attentive to what you've given us through the power of your Spirit. And I pray that you would reveal to us how we can use those things in your kingdom. God, whether we are 80 years old or 5 or younger or older, whatever that looks like, God, help us to see where we have a role to play here in the body of Christ. And God, help us to work with each other. Help us to encourage one another in those good works. Help us to not get jealous or bitter when we see other people doing things, but instead, Lord God, help us to sing your praises that you've given someone the gifts to do this work. And God, help us to understand who we are in Jesus. Lead us to Jesus. Let us find our source of everything in him. And out of that, let us be called to serve. God, I pray this in your name. Amen.